Looking through the lens of our camera, we have caught some unbelievable moments when it comes to professional bass fishing. How do they do it? Hell, we don't know. We're just camera guys.
What's the agenda? Brett, you're going to be the host.
Yeah, sure, man. That's I'm going to assert my seniority and I'll be the host.
God damn it.
Because I've been here a whole 2 years longer, even though, BJ, you actually showed up at the same time I did.
Oh, so that was the first time?
Yeah, like that was my second tournament that you were at.
Save it.
Okay.
Are we not recording?
Yeah, we're actually rolling.
Yeah, we're live.
Rolling. Yeah, we're already rolling. Now, if we're going to use it or not, I mean. So this is like our first podcast. Like we're going to try to do this. Try being the key word.
Yeah, but it's going to be a tough part of the schedule.
I mean, ultimately, we're just camera guys, which is the name of the podcast. Like, I'm just a camera guy.
I'm just a camera guy.
Oh, this isn't Three Dudes on a Couch?
Mm. Well, that is a different movie that I may or may not have seen in college.
Oh, well, that opens up another can of worms. Does this thing pull back?
Like, you're not situated yet, are you?
All right, good.
So I'm just a camera guy. It's actually a saying we say a lot on tour. Like when we get asked, like, well, hey, so what's your guy doing? I don't know. I'm just a camera guy. So you've got me. My name's Brett, or as Dustin calls me, B. I film for Dustin Connell. You've got...
I'm the other B. You know, BJ, I film for Adrian.
And I'm Colin, and I film for Mark.
So, like, we're just chilling at the house, not doing videos right now. So we were like, we should do a podcast because we stay up late a lot talking about YouTube. So this is literally going to be a podcast on behind the scenes stories that we can actually share.
Few of them, very few.
There's a lot that we don't get to edit in because it just doesn't fit the story that we could share. So we're going to do that. I mean, how many trees have you hit so far this year, BJ, that we haven't been able to put on?
Damn. Okay. Only one. Okay. And that was literally in like the first 5 minutes of being in Kissimmee.
So that was the first time I even met BJ.
Okay,
BJ.
And
we roll up.
This is the problem because I got Adrian in the background giving me crap. For
pull that mic a little bit closer there, buddy.
For going down to, is this better?
Yeah, it's better.
Man, this is like in my face. So forgive me crap for going down this skinny driveway driving his truck for the first time.
In your defense, the driveway was, the whole house sucked.
Oh, tough.
The driveway really sucked.
Tough. Like, well, and I'm trying not to hit this house with the trailer because the owners of this house are sitting in the pool staring at me. Also staring at me is Mark and Colin, like 200 feet away, watching this all go down, not saying a word.
No warning. Just
no
boom.
Warning. Like, yeah. So my eyes are glued on, like, I glanced up, saw this tree there, and my eyes are glued in the mirror. So that the wheel, like the fender, does not clip the corner of this concrete, you know, foundation. And then all of a sudden, it goes, I'm like, fuck.
And that. Or,
I mean, shoot.
And the tree did not move.
So.
The headlight still doesn't work.
Okay, no. So, Adrian, you got the bulb replaced on that, finally.
So, it's, but, it
like,
works.
We're out of the bulb, and that's the best part is the guy, and he wasn't here this week. Every time I roll up in the morning, he's like, dude, just bring it to me and I'll fix it for you while you're out. He was not here.
You hold the microphone near your mouth. You keep talking to me. Like,
oh, is it going? I can still hear myself, though.
Well, yeah, a little bit. Like, Colin wanted us to get these headphones with mics, and apparently it's for you. Like,
yeah, it is for me. Yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to, like, it's kind of a deep dive, introduce ourselves, and then we're going to get into like some stories in the upcoming podcast. I don't know how long it's going to take. We may share some more stories during this podcast, but like,
yeah, I mean, it'll be, I'd say roughly half like stories.
Yeah.
And half like gear and
YouTube stuff.
Talk. And
I say, this is the wrong time. We need to like late night, like when we're like delusional.
Oh, we're going to have some of those.
Probably tonight.
Yeah,
it's like we might get episode 2 tonight.
We want to record these. Like, we've got permission from the guys to record these things, but we just can't let our...
I don't think Adrian knows anything about this.
Well, as long as you tell him Dustin and Mark said it was okay, he'll probably be like, all right.
It doesn't matter.
So, like, let's start with you, BJ, because you've been here, I guess, technically the second longest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how did you meet Adrian? How'd that whole thing start?
Wow, so that's like a while ago. So, like, through, like, mutual friends, you know, like, we all fish, like, saltwater fishing back at home, like, Asian just charters or whatnot. And he's, like, always one of the guys that was, you know, good.
Right? Y'all are both from New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. So, like, Adrian's from Vineland, which is about, like, 45 minutes away. I'm down by the beach, down by, you know, Cape May Sound Harbor. And he has had a beach house in Cape May. And, like, honestly, the first time I met him in person was, like, New Year's Eve at, like, his house in Cape May. I don't really remember a whole lot of it, but I remember being – it was a good time.
Like, what year do you think, like,
oh, man, long that was ago? Like,
10 years ago, 5 years ago?
It was probably a little over five. It was what, like 15 maybe? Like 2015 or something like that around
and
there.
And you do inshore charters.
Yeah. So like that's actually met him before I started doing that. But yeah, I do inshore charters where he does mostly like offshore stuff. Like going for tuna, stuff like that. Which like for me, like I can't afford to do that. It's not in my budget. But so like what happened how I started filming for Adrian 2 years ago was one of our buddies had a wedding and like I shot pictures of that. Adrian happened to be at the wedding. And like this was, you know, September or something like that. And then I think I shot him and Kara's like engagement pictures.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yo, like come on tour with me. I keep calling it the Tackle Warehouse Tour, but
Bass Pro Tour.
Yeah. No, this was 2 years ago.
This was you jumped on when he was doing
Big Five.
Yeah, it was Big Five. He was still doing BPT because you came to one BPT event.
But like that's why we're focusing. Well, he wanted to focus on the other one because I could be in the boat with him all day and film the tournaments, right? So like that's what we did, and then like that where it kind of tied in because we were actually in Alabama, right? Yep. And then
Smith Lake. You didn't know this, but I tried to cut you out of a job that week.
Oh man,
we'll get into that later.
Damn.
I actually tried to cut you out. I didn't know. But I did.
Man, I thought we were friends, man. This guy.
I didn't even. We'll get into it. In a
wow, that was like. Okay, it was blindsided.
It was unintended. It was unintentional, but...
But, like, that's where... No, it's still, like, it's tough. Like, on Earth, you were in Alabama. Like, I think my dad... We actually dropped in. We were in Florida, and my dad dropped me off, for their plane, dropped me off in Alabama. So then we're there for the week or whatever, and then he's like, well, do you want to stay with me to go to... Where was it? Texas?
Yeah, Sam Rayburn.
Yeah. But then in that, it was just like a journey. We ended up going to like Venice, Louisiana to meet Gerald Spohr there, which would have been a great trip if there weren't some, you know, engine problems out there and whatnot. And then from there, we went to, Justin Martin's, the lodge.
Oh, Duck Martin. Commander.
Yeah, Louisiana.
No, but went to...
Y'all went to Stumpy.
Yeah, yeah. That was...
Yeah. I'm still waiting.
I know, Stumpy's the
and
place.
And I found out Stumpy in your backyard. Is only an hour away from my house.
Yep. Stumpy's
it'll happen. I'll be there.
Cool place. Stumpy's like the place.
Dude, I had a great time there. Like fishing was good. But, like I had a fun time going around with the groundskeeper. Like they went to go like shoot video or whatever.
You're different.
Like I was with the
groundskeeper. You're so different. Stumpy, you can literally throw out like a baby pacifier and they'll eat it.
So
like,
we have
that was a video that actually like
so we have
that
video
pacifier
of that.
Video Jacob did. He got the idea at Stumpy, but he pulled it off on a smallmouth fishery. But like there's an idea to, well, I don't even know if I can say the idea that we want to do at Stumpy, but they'll eat anything at Stumpy.
Well, we did that.
And you're out there going, oh, man, this
property is nice. this is a beautiful property.
See, like, that was after that. So we were on there and then we did a cameraman challenge or whatever where, you know, we fished Stumpy and did that when it was like me and Adrian versus Brody and Jacob. We actually won. So I filmed that video, they filmed that video, and I was kind of waiting for, you know, Brody to post that video. Well, they lost, so they didn't post that video. So there's no proof out there that Adrian and I won.
Wow. That
camp, and they tried to get me to do, like, I was struggling because I had a bait caster on backwards for most of it trying to do this. And I'm like, just get me a spinning rod. As soon as I got a spinning rod, I caught some.
So can I tell you, me and Dustin and Jacob and Brody also filmed.
I know, I saw that. And it before you guys, we did.
Right, yeah. Well, we filmed it in like February, and I posted it this October because I held it for so long, so I didn't want to jump Jacob and Brody from posting it.
Oh.
But it never got posted, and I was like, well, I'm posting it. So I posted it.
Dang.
But that was filmed in February. We won that one too, and that I guess that's why I won.
Yeah. I was like, I got that on a hard drive somewhere. Yeah. But I think I remember going through it and, you know, me being not thinking about it, didn't have it in auto. So I think when I would have it or something, then Adrian grabs his hand and just like completely messed up the settings on it at that time. So like I feel like there's some good stuff in there, but then there's also some stuff on it. You're like, man, the sunglasses are on this thing. You can barely see it.
Yeah.
You know? So you met, that was a great time.
So wait, bringing back, you, bra- no, yeah, bringing you back.
The groundskeeper. Okay, back.
No.
Keep going back.
Keep going back. You went off on a tangent.
Oh, and what? Yeah, I said it was a good time there because the groundskeeper. We were going around because that property is amazing. Like you go around, they got the fence, and he would set traps like snares for the coyotes and stuff like that. And then he would literally drive around in the side by side, shooting the possums and now armadillos. I've never done that. I had a great time, dude.
Man, that's like, nothing special for me.
Oh my God. That was every, so cool.
I mean, yeah. You are in like, I think you're in Mississippi at that place.
Yes.
So like, but it's right on the line. So oh, I mean, you're, that's Colin's backyard. Colin shoots anything that moves.
Yeah. But see,
we'll get into that later too.
You can't do that in New Jersey. No, not a thing. Yeah. So like, I'm not going to lie. I think I hit like a possum and armadillo.
Oh, you shot one?
Well,
yeah,
you are.
But anyway. Yeah.
I mean,
it was fun. I had a good time.
Are you even allowed to have a gun in New Jersey?
It's really tough. Yeah. I have one, but you cannot be caught in public with it. It can't be in your car. If it's on, you got to be going to the gun range and back. If you're to stop it, topic. At, like a grocery
store, this is
store,
not that type of podcast. But man, you need to get the hell out of there.
But see, we're in South Jersey though, so it's a little different. From
yeah, y'all aren't like totally Democrat. Yeah.
No, if you look at it, like we're the red part of the state.
Yeah.
That's in the bottom.
Yeah. Always get outvoted, but you're there.
Oh, definitely.
That's right. All right. So, Colin, how did you meet up with old Mark?
So,
I got something on Colin, too, trying to slide in on my job. Go ahead.
No, do you?
Yeah, I do.
I tried to slide in on your job?
Yeah, you didn't know it. We didn't.
Oh, yeah. The DM?
Yeah. He DM'd Dustin, like, in 2018, before I even knew who Dustin was.
Wait, does Dustin know that?
How old is he? Like two?
He was two at the time.
What's the math on this one?
He had it was one of them old Polaroid cameras that spits out the
yeah, you gotta like shake it.
Yeah, you gotta. Yeah. No, go ahead.
So I met Mark, I think 2 years ago. I actually did the shoot for the release of his MR12 with Bill Lewis. Because Bill Lewis is from Louisiana, and me and a buddy, they called us, we're doing some freelance work for Bill Lewis. They called us. We went out for a whole day, shot the release, met him that way, and then kind of stayed in touch. And then this past season, when y'all were at Garbone.
Oh, I was going to say, did I miss something? I'm not entirely sure.
So that was stage one last year. And Bill Lewis had me and my buddy go out and just get some content for him of Mark and Cliff. And so I met him again. And then actually that same trip, we shot Mark's boat tour and from last year. So I met him for a couple times by then. And we stayed in touch, talked a lot, and I was killing snakes, and Mark was letting them go, and we kind of would always go back and forth on Instagram about that. And so, yeah, and then last offseason, I commented about a snake, and he was like, yo, by the way, if you ever want to film for me, just hit me up. And I'm like, well, actually, I do. So we worked it all out, and this is the first year on tour for me. Just like
he's ruthless, going out, commenting. It's like, I feel like it's like a girl you're trying to court, you know, whatnot. They say no, and they finally yes.
Yeah, well,
no, I never asked him. He asked me.
Yeah, they just stayed in touch.
He like planted the seed and kind of just got.
Yeah, they just stayed in touch.
I was actually on the way to a deer hunt. And he messaged me. He was like, yo, let's talk if you want to film. So
he had been looking for a guy for a long time. Like, for
that's
a long,
what I've heard.
Time. Yeah. And
yeah. So for all you who don't know, before me, Mark would kind of self film everything. Mm-hmm. And when he would get back from the trip, his wife would edit everything and he would kind of help her, you know, tell her.
And she actually got really good.
Yeah.
Like, she got really good at editing.
Yep.
So I was always impressed with Tanisha.
She did everything up until that you've seen up until this year. Mm-hmm. And she's done a few this year too for some of the events that I didn't go to on the Tackle Warehouse side. And they do some filler videos at home and whatnot. And she still does some, but.
Dang, I need one to help me out. Is that when you, why you get married? You just like train her to do stuff?
No, mine, that, there's no help. Like, there's no help there.
Dang.
Yeah.
No.
That'd be nice to have one in-house.
Yeah. Well, so I started working with Dustin 3 years ago now. Oh, yeah,
Brett. So what's your story?
Yeah, there you go.
So what about me?
Oh, no. So I've got access to Dustin's Instagram, and a lot of times during tournament days, like in the morning, if a picture's taken of him, like with officials, usually it's me posting it. So if you're out there, all one of you that's listening to this.
All three of us.
That have already tuned out. Yeah. It's me posting that stuff. Like it's, so if it seems like a different inflection on the text, it's me. So I post that stuff, and I've got his access to his Instagram, and I guess you had messaged him or something like that, and it was just a chat that popped up there. So I hit it and looked at it, and I was like, oh, like him and Colin talk a good bit. And then I realized they didn't.
No, he
ghosted
me.
That was from 2018, and Colin reached out to him and was like, hey, dude, like this was actually very forward-thinking. Like it was before the weight series or anything, right? So before, like, there was no – Justin didn't even have a YouTube channel at that time. But Colin reached out and was like, dude, I think you're missing an opportunity, like – you need to be doing a YouTube channel. Like, I'll help you film it.
Dang.
And we can grow it. Like, you're missing a big opportunity.
Did Wheeler have one then?
I reached out. Those were the two people that I reached out to.
So they did. Wheeler didn't have one yet.
This was 2018. So this was still, they were still fishing Bassmasters before MLF.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like it was actually very forward thinking on Colin's
so
part.
So the reason I sent it.
Oh, yeah.
This was right when Polinick had turned his game up.
Yep.
With Jay, his camera guy's name was Jay something. And I watched it and I liked it. So those were the two guys that I messaged. So
yeah.
It's a good thing he ghosted me or we wouldn't probably be here.
No, well, you might, but
you might not be here.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here. Dude, so like in 2018, so this is sort of a full come around for me because so number one, how did y'all get into film? Like what led y'all into film?
For me, ever since I was in middle school, it started with photography for me.
Sure.
So I grew up duck hunting, and, you know, with duck hunting, there's always, most of the time, there's a good sunrise and a good sunset. So it started with pictures on my cell phone, and then I stole my mom's camera or borrowed it and started with that, and then it kind of progressed to... I guess when I was in high school, probably that's kind of when the Googans were starting to pop off.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, dang, like there's like a career in this. There could be a career.
I would like to point out, he said when he was in high school, yeah, I was like 5 years into my career out of college and everything. But anyway, go ahead, Colin.
Maybe it was college. I don't know. But when they started popping off.
Okay, for the record, you're like what, 26?
Yeah.
So
35.
Yeah, 32.
Yeah, man, I'm the young one.
So this is just premises. How old were you? So high school is what, 14, 15?
Just
15, 16, 17,
yeah,
18.
16, you're probably like 10th grade, 11th grade, 17, 18, yeah. Maybe senior year.
Damn.
Yeah. Let that sink in. He ain't been out of high school for 10 years. Like, he's only been out of high school for 8 years.
So yeah,
I'm trying to do the math when he was like, yeah, 2018. I'm like,
actually, I graduated college in 2018.
Yep, there you go.
There you go.
So what's that, like 22, 21?
Yeah. So yeah, I it started with photography.
I've got a wife and two kids. You know, I married her in 2014. Where were you then?
Graduating high school.
Yeah,
I feel like this is one of those where like it's this, you know, like on the Instagram or whatever is when it's like the guy and the girl picture, like now it's like, where were you like 10 years ago? And the guy's like, you know, in college or something, and she's like freshman year of like high school or something like that. This is what I kind of feel like right now.
Just like, don't
where were you then?
Yeah.
I'm gonna start age checking y'all. But yeah, so it started in photography, and then I started filming hunts, and kind of just went from there, really.
Yeah.
Dang.
How about you?
Man, it was really probably like grade school. Like we had like computer class or whatnot, and had to go out and like shoot stuff for part of it. And like I made a lot of like surf videos, which is like usually what, you know, what we did a lot of, you know, back then, like surf, skating videos. But then really like kind of like stopped for a while because like sports took over, you know, in high school. But like, man, to this day, I remember this. It was my sophomore English class. You know how you had to like read a book or whatever it is and then give like a book report, presentation on it. So you had to write it or like read it or
Spark Notes.
Well, that's how I got through college. Come on. I'm surprised you know
100%.
What it is. Yeah.
Like Chegg.
Oh. Ever read a full book? No, no sir.
No. So I went did that, but I filmed it and it was of like Camelot and like the Knights of the Round Table, like whatever it is. So I read this book and it was like really, you know, in depth by Spark Notes, and I shot like a movie. Right. And like, this is like, and I have it somewhere, but it's on like an old camcorder. Right. And we like made it and like did it like, you know, here it kind of went on like, was it a Monty Python? You know, mm-hmm. How it was like a joke where they got the clam, like the coconuts going for like a horse going. Well, like all I remember is like, you do like a fight scene and like, you're like punch him in the face. And he had red food dye, like water in his mouth. I got hit him, and it
very
just goes,
low budget. Is
what you're like, very dude, low. I'm telling you, like, but like was awesome. I can't believe she let me. Like, you could not show that in school now. Like,
oh,
you
no.
couldn't. Right. Like, you couldn't. But it was just like one of those things. Like to this day, like I love. Like that was probably my best high school memory. Other than that, same teacher failed my paper because I hated writing. Right.
Yeah.
But like, so the next one, the paper I did was on, you know, pirates. Right. So I did it on Blackbeard. And she went, you know how you got to do like note cards, outlines all the way through. So by the time I wrote it, handed it in, she gave it back. She gave me an F. I'm like, for what? She's like, didn't like the topic.
So that's how
and
you.
Hang on.
Let's bring it. Yeah. I was about to say. So that's how you got into film.
Yeah. I was like, because
what
can't
a story.
Write the paper.
I have
no idea where we ended, but I know where it started. I don't know where we got off track.
I was like, well, because it was the first one. That's how it is.
I'm telling you, you and Adrian, I've said this a million times, y'all are perfect for each other. Y'all are perfect for each other.
Well, most recently, I got into video because when I started doing charters, I had to make the website and taking pictures and the videos, and that's how, for me, since you don't have a storefront, when people are clicking and searching for other stuff, that's what I'm looking at, is a website. So that's what, even over social, all that stuff, I put a lot of time into that, and like that's what I told you, is like people said they booked me over other charters because of that. From the pictures and the videos that I put up there. And I'm like, I was like, yeah, that
sounds good.
I like that, right? But I was like, that doesn't make me better than the other guy. The other guy's just older. They've been here for a long time. They don't really put any time into that.
Yeah.
Right. But like, so that's really what drew me back into it now. And like doing it as a hobby until, you know, you shoot some boats and stuff like that. And then doing this is really what kind of spurred it.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, especially like the drones and stuff like that. Yeah. Like that year was a crazy, crazy year too. But so like 2 years ago, that was like beginning of COVID.
Yeah.
Kind of deal, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And that was a crazy time traveling around, you know, from Florida to like California and back a couple times and Alabama. Like it was photography and doing this has really led to like exploring the country and seeing places that never would have seen before.
Yep.
You know. But
I agree.
For sure.
So, to the host.
My story, I nothing like y'all's. I mean, I guess.
But
I,
you didn't fail paper and get into it, too?
No, but I hated writing papers, too, but I majored in history, which was the wrong place to go if you didn't like papers. I was always around cameras. So, like, my buddies that lived, you know, you always had your neighborhood buddies that y'all, like, rode bikes and skateboarded and built.
They don't do that anymore, but no. I actually did that when I was backyard baseball.
We had like a field that none of us owned or our parents didn't own it, but there was a house that was located and the old guy didn't yell at us too bad, so we would like play baseball in it. Those kind of friends. Well, there was a yard sale down the road from that and they had like an old VHS camcorder, like wrote to VHS. And we bought it, or I bought it, but we would film on VHS like us riding around our bikes and jumping stuff. And and I would always be the one that was filming it. Like, so I guess that's where it goes back to. I always liked it a lot, but I didn't know how to edit VHS. It was just like either we got it and I had to delete it and let's race over it. And it was,
Colin, that is a tape that it goes around in circles, and you know, you can't write over.
That's
it.
How I watched my Disney movies when I was little.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And classic. When it's done, you have to rewind it.
Be kind, yeah. Rewind.
Yes. You would. I do that. I'm not that young.
Do you know what Blockbuster is?
Yes. Okay. I do.
I think I drove by the Saw building somewhere in all of this. I saw one.
And then you had the slightly lower than Blockbuster Movie Gallery. Anybody remember a Movie Gallery?
No. That must be just Blockbuster.
That must be something.
I guess maybe. I don't know.
You guys got a lot of that.
We had that, and then of course, like, you know, you grow old, you get older, and your buddies, you don't hang out anymore. You start realizing that there's another gender that you kind of like too. So you start chasing that, and not with your buddies. So I didn't really pick it up, but in college, well, I was in band too, so I was always the guy. I would edit all the pictures together, and like the end of the year, like video, and set it to music. I was that guy in high school. In college, I did the same thing. I was an orientation nurse where I met my wife. Like, we were orientation. I would film all the stuff and put together the 3-minute reel.
Okay, we need to stop. What did you play in bands?
So I was a drummer. I was a percussionist.
Little drummer boy.
I played quints, bass drum. It depends on the year, but you know,
what
you move
quints?
It's the five drums. Yeah. They're five. They're five all spread out. And if you can imagine how little I am, that thing's weighed as much as me.
Did you have to carry it too?
Yeah, it was a harness attached to your shoulders. But my last year, I was drum major, so I was the guy that waved my hands really fast and yelled really loud.
Is there a video of this?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of videos.
Oh my!
You know, your parents,
you're
always
holding
bought
out
this.
On us.
Actually, I've got a really good video of me with the quints. So it was, I was for one section when on my junior year, I had to go to the back of the field, all the band turned around, and I had to like direct them, like drum major style direct them, right? Well, I dropped one of my sticks when I was stepping off the stand, right? I'm a little guy, right? Like, I'm like 130. These quints are like 45 pounds, okay? And back then, I was probably just 100. Like, I was a little guy.
Soaking wet.
Well, you could flip the quints up toward your chest. So, you normally sit flat. You could flip them up. So, I flipped them up, and I was doing my little hand thing. Like, hey, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. They turn back around, look at the actual drum major. And I was like, okay, perfect. Time for me to get down. I step down, and one of my sticks falls. Well, you can't lean over and get it because the quints are in front of you. So you got to sort of bend backwards and get it. Well, I bent backwards, and when I went to lean forwards, those quints shot forward. Buddy, they have a shot in this DVD that my mom's got, and they're like panning across everybody's feet, like walking in sync, and you see me just face plant, like in the very, like through all these feet, because I was trying to pick up the stick. Well, then they're 45 pounds. Dude, I had to take them off, stand up, then put them back on because I couldn't stand up.
Like,
but I've got video
back,
of it.
You're like, I'm stuck.
I do have video of it. Like, that happened. Like, so anyway, I was that guy during high school and college, and I didn't mess around with it. And I've got a pretty obsessive personality. So I was watching YouTube, and I was real big into bowling for a while. I was watching YouTube, and I had a buddy that was on my bowling team that, like, fished. He fished BFLs, made it to the All-American, finished third in the All-American. And me and him were talking. I was like, dude, I used to love fishing. Like, I used to fish all the time. Not competitively or anything, but I love it. Like, to me, you know, put a bobber on, put some hot dogs on it, you catch catfish. Like, that's, I love fishing, right? I'm into it. Like, me and
I'm
you,
a fisherman.
Me and you are the same guy. You finished third in All-American. Me and you are the same guy. Like, so I'm sitting there and I start watching these fishing videos and I run across the Guggen Squad. And I'm watching an Alex Perrick video. I'm watching a John B. video. And I'm going, dude, I could do that. Like, I could easily do that. That's not hard. Like, their videos are not super complicated. FYI, they are super complicated. Like, just because it looks easy doesn't mean it is easy, especially when you're filming yourself. But in my mind, I was like, dude, I got this. Like, no problem. Went out, got some GoPros, because I also scuba dove, and I recorded all the scuba diving on GoPro. And this was, like, when YouTube's infancy, so I would post those GoPro videos.
Back when you could post whatever you wanted.
Whatever you wanted, like spearfishing and stuff.
No limits.
Yep. So I'd post whatever, but I there was no context to it. Like, I didn't introduce myself. It was me falling in the water, and then we're shooting stuff. We're bringing them up to the surface, and then the video would cut. But I would edit those on, like, a free, like, I think it was, like, Windows Movie Maker. Does anybody remember the free Windows Movie Maker? That came, like, I'd edit them on that. And I'd have like copyrighted music on it because that was back when YouTube was lawless. So,
the
I mean,
wild,
I,
wild west.
Yeah, I would do all that stuff. I mean, I guess I was kind of always in it, but it was never like I never understood the ins and outs of actually using the camera. I was just kind of point and shoot, which, to be honest with you, that's still exactly what I'm doing.
I was going
to
say, but like, I was like, you just had this conversation like the other day. We're like, man, I just want to point it that way.
I just don't know what I'm doing. I can tell a story, and that's about where the camera side is not me. But anyway, I was like, I can do this. So I started my own YouTube channel for fishing. Like, keep in mind, my knowledge of fishing is not, not great.
He tried poaching Brody out of a job.
I did.
Yeah.
So,
wait,
anyway.
Was Brody in the picture then?
Yeah, he was. He was actually in the background as I'm saying this. Like, that's on my old channel. So, anyway, like, I did that for, like, 2 or 3 years. 2 years. I got to, like, 4,000 subscribers. We're, like... 30 minutes.
No, I've seen what time it is because I can't be late.
Yeah, you got to pick up Mark.
I got to go.
It's 2:46. So like,
yeah, you got. We're almost wrapped this up.
Mark
anyway.
And Jacob are fishing right now.
Yep.
They're Group B, and I got to go pick them up. So.
Yeah. So we got to make sure that Colin picks up Mark. But I started doing that YouTube thing, and I got to like 4,000 subscribers. Catch Co or Mystery Tackle Box was like they had latched on to me.
How did it take you to get to 4,000?
It took me 2 years. The first 1,000 was the hardest, and that took me a year to get the first 1,000. And then after that, it started steamrolling. But I say steamrolling.
Then once you get, I've heard like once you get to like 10K,
it starts going quicker.
Yeah.
And that's with all of it. Like you start picking up an audience that keeps coming back. And
yeah.
But I'd sort of been through that grind, like of trying to get those in, like what worked and what didn't work. And trust me, I found out everything that didn't work. But honestly, the person that helped me out the most was Lojo. Like, I filmed several times with Lojo, and he would tell me certain things that would go in and out, like go in one ear, out the other. But when I finally started listening to what he was saying about thumbnails and titles and different things, which I live by now, y'all know that. We'll jump in that on another podcast. That's a whole nother podcast. I started really seeing a lot of like movement. Well, my buddy, same guy, BFL, bought new graphs. He bought new graphs for his boat, did a video on how to install them because he was like, I don't want to take it to anybody installed. Do you know how to install? And I was like, sure. I mean, how hard could it be? Yeah, let me drill into your fiberglass boat. No. I can do that. It's not a big deal. Like, who cares? A little bit of silicone and ain't going to leak. It'll be fine. So I installed those, and they were Garmin units. So I reached out to Mark. I reached out to Dustin. I did not reach out to Jacob because Jacob was in Tennessee. He was too far away. But I was in Birmingham.
I didn't even think that far ahead because they weren't, none of them were near me, but I was like, I'll figure it out.
So I DM'd him on Instagram, and I only knew those three guys from the weight series. Like, I did not keep up with the professional bass fishing, I just knew him from the weight
series. The weight was 2019?
Mm-hmm. So this would have been.
So I DM'd him a year before that.
Yep. And I started DMing them in like.
Their last, I DM'd them their last year on bass.
Yep. So you were 2 years before me. Well, I DM'd Dustin, DM Mark, and I never got a response. Well, that was in like January. So February rolls around and I run into Jacob at a meet and greet at a like a tackle show. It's like the East Tennessee Fishing Tackle Show or whatever. And I told Jacob, hey, dude, I'm trying to like DM like Jacob or Dustin and Mark and they're not getting back. And he's like, dude, we get DM'd by everybody. Just keep messing with, like, keep sending him. Like, there's got to be people like, He needs somebody, right? So I kept DMing him. Sorry, we just had someone walk through and make a gesture toward us. I DM'd him and didn't get back with me. So I decided, okay, if Jacob says I need to keep DMing him, and Jacob is Jacob.
I'm going to take it to heart.
I'm going to take it to heart. Every 2 months, I would DM him. I stopped DMing Mark after like 2 tries because I was like, well, Tuskegee actually is pretty far. Like that's kind of far. So I just kept hammering on Dustin. October. He finally,
almost the whole year.
Yep. I DM'd him. I remember where I was sitting. I was sitting at a buddy's house watching an Alabama football game. DM'd him. It might have been the Tennessee game, too. It was in October. So, anyway, I DM'd him, and he immediately DM'd me back. Like, hey, like, that would be great. So, I said, well, here's my YouTube channel. I know how to edit. And I wasn't asking for a job. I just wanted a graphing course. I said, if you'll give me a graphing course, I don't have much cash on me. I will edit 2 videos for you that you can use on your channel. I know your buddy does, like he's had a buddy that was filming for him. I know he does your stuff. I'm not trying to cut in on him, but just let me know. Well, he says he looked at my YouTube channel. He admitted the other day he never even saw it. Like, he just said, oh, no, I'm sure you can. I just need somebody. So we went out on the water, and I was like, he called me on a Sunday night. He called me on a Sunday night and was like, hey, can you be here Tuesday? I was 7 years into a programming career. Like, I was a computer programmer at a university, and I called my boss. I was like, dude, I got to go. Like, I got to do this. So I go out there. I'm all amped up. I film him, ask all the right questions, get two really good videos for him. And before I could even...
Are they on his channel right now?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, it was, I think one released October 16th, and one was like October 20th, something like that, of 2020 or 2021. 2021. So I think that's it. So you can look them up. It was like how to find bass in the fall transition was the first one, right?
I feel like I'm going to have to look it up.
I'm definitely going to look it up.
Those are the first videos I edited for him. So we get back to my truck. He drops me off at the boat ramp and he goes, hey, just quit your YouTube channel and do this. Like, just do this. Do this with me. Like, I'll pay you. Do this. And I was like, okay. Like, I was not completely sold on my YouTube channel anyway, and this seemed like a way better opportunity. Like, I'd watched Dustin for 2 years from the weight series. I'd followed him after that because the weight series got me into pro fishing where I was watching. So, dude, I'll do it.
Well, I think that's why, like, because even with charters and fishing, so that like, I have so many hard drives full of like stuff, right? Yeah. Like, and I would put stuff out on YouTube or not, but then like you don't really see it, right? Like, you really have to be consistent and put it all out there. Yeah. And, like, that's why like, with this, like making YouTube videos, because like, you're getting paid. Like, that's where like that changed. You're like, well, I'm doing my own thing. But
oh,
like,
I was making $150 a month, like big pimping, dude, on my personal channel, like $150 a month.
Wow, baller.
I know.
Dude, I would take that.
Well, so the goal with that was, is once I realized you can't just throw a video up and be as big as the Googans, I was like, well.
It's not quite that easy.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I really enjoyed fishing. Like, it was a lot of fun, and me and my buddy were doing this together. I was like, if I can make just enough to break even, like where the tackle and the gas and $150 a month, we're going to local like little ponds and messing around. You can easily break even on $150 a month. And then you tell your wife, you know, this could blow up one day. Like, I've got to do this every weekend. Like, it's got to be consistent. Like, so I'm getting to leave every Saturday to go and fish because at the hope that maybe I'll make more than $150 a month. Well, then you just start doing this, and I mean, the first year I worked with Dustin, I didn't make anything, but the first tournament, I mean, he won Red Crest.
Yeah.
That was, and then.
Can only go down from there.
Buddy, it ruined me. Like, I thought this is how just this worked. Like,
oh,
we
he's
just
that
go and,
good.
We go and win. Actually, no, I thought Dustin sucked at first. Like, the first couple videos we filmed, because we filmed it on his home lake, you don't want to expose your best stuff on YouTube. Well, I had no concept of that. Like, I didn't have good stuff. Like, I just had mediocre stuff at best. I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
You had to get every fish catch you could.
Exactly. If it was a 12-incher, hey, check out this big fish. Like, it's awesome. Like, we caught a fish. So we go out on Lake Mitchell, and he takes me all these places, and he's not catching nothing. Like, nothing. It was like pulling teeth to get that first video. And I was like, I mean, I thought we were going to crush him, but he's been fishing here since he was 12. Well, then he turns the camera off and he goes, all right, let's roll up here. And he said, do you want to fish? And I was like, I mean, yeah. I mean, I know how to fish. I mean, I'm a YouTuber. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's I'm a YouTuber. I can fish. He hands me a rod. Number one, I blow it up immediately because they don't use any tension on their
stuff. Zero.
And we're throwing a weightless fluke, too, of all things. So it's
terrible.
Got, yeah, with no tension at all in your reel. I blow it up, but I cast right where he tells me to, and he goes, all right. He helps me pick out the backlash first. Then he goes, all right. He said, twitch, hang on. And all of a sudden, this fish comes out of nowhere. It's like this is before Active Target. Well, no, it wasn't. No, it was, because it was our first video. It was before Active Target came out. Active Target came out during Red Crest. This fish comes out of nowhere. He didn't know it was coming, but he knew it was coming. You know what I mean? Like, he's fished
that
spot.
It should be there, yeah.
That was the cast. That fish should be there, and it was a 2-pounder. And I was like, hang on a minute. Like, maybe he does know what he's doing. Then we'd go to the next spot, and he'd go, all right, cast here. And I'd cast several times, and he would be like, no, that's not the cast. That's not the cast. Then he'd reel it back, and he said, let me cast it for you. And he'd cast it, and I thought it was the exact same cast. And he goes, reel it, hang on. Dude, freaking 4-pound spot. Oh. And I was like, wait a dang minute. He knows what he's doing. Like, he doesn't suck. It's just we can't expose that stuff. And then we posted those two videos, and we went out the next day after I posted the second one, and there was like three boats sitting on the spot that we filmed the second video at.
Oh,
okay, this makes sense now. Like, we can't expose that.
We can't film here anymore.
Yeah, why are we filming at your home? Like, this is a terrible idea. But that's how I got into it. Like, I just started filming for him on a little old DSLR. And then we upgraded after he won Red Crest because he had a little bit of coin that I could convince him to buy a newer camera.
So one thing funny I didn't mention, I kind of took the same route as you because I myself went the YouTube route.
Yeah.
And I have 80 subs.
Really?
On my channel. But y'all will never see it because it's not my name. So.
Well, my old channel now, it used to be.
You'll never find it.
It was Be Fishing Outdoors is what it was called. But I've changed the name. Like, it's Be the Cameraman now because that's what they called me. Now, granted, my Instagram name, my first year was Be the Cameraman.
I think you should have left it.
And I changed it because I felt like it was, number one, I know nothing about cameras. I'm not the cameraman. I'm not the guy.
We're just a cameraman.
I'm just, Be a cameraman. Like, yeah. But it also sounded like, but he calls me B, so I thought that it was like, no, the cameraman was very.
It's a little bit more. Professional
way
now.
Too big for my britches, so now it's BB Creative or BB Creative
B Birch.
Well, yeah, B Birch Creative. Yeah, my business name is BB Creative.
Yeah.
But how I almost tried to take your job, BJ. Back to that.
Oh, man, so that was a huge
at Red
so
Crest,
I tried to take your job.
Yep.
You tried to take his job.
Yeah. Man. And I low key, I told Jacob when I first met him, I was like, and if you ever need anyone to film for you, and Brody's literally behind him filming, like. As I'm saying this, like, I was so oblivious. Like, and I was like, if you ever need any, I mean, I'm around. Wait, like, and of course, Jacob was nice because, I mean, you know, you're a fan. He goes, oh, absolutely. Like, knowing full, now that I know Jacob, that means full well, no. No. Like, not going to happen. So, Adrian, I was trying to fit in, right? It was my first tournament at Red Crest. I was trying to fit in. I was the new guy. And I was just, I wanted to, like, be a part of it, right?
You wanted to be a boy.
But I didn't want to be, I didn't want to be a fanboy, but I wanted to be one of the boys, right?
You know, it's fanboying.
And I had met Adrian too at the Bassmaster Classic, and I messed around with him a lot at the Berkeley booth. I'm sure he loved that. but anyway, I filmed him at the Bassmaster Classic on a video. But anyway, so
was he in the Classic that year?
No.
He was not?
No, he was just working the booth because he was an MLF guy. This would have been the 2020 Classic. It was in Birmingham. It was on Gunnersville, right where we are now.
Wonderful lake.
Let me tell you. So anyway, I told Adrian, hey, you know, your next Tackle Warehouse event's like at Smith Lake. It's like right up the road from me. If you need anyone to come shoot for you, just shoot me, you know, shoot me a text. And he was like, oh, dude, I might. Like,
so at this point, you are working with Dustin or you're not?
I am. I'm working with Dustin. Like, okay. This was in the house at Red Crest. I was like, I can come up, take some pictures or whatever. I didn't know you could ride in the boat during those tournaments at the time. So I was just going to come and jump in the boat with it, practice like we did at Red Crest, and just like film a little bit at practice or take some pictures. Well, he wanted like full blown, no, you come to this tournament and film everything. And I was like, Dustin's probably not going to like that. Like, I just started working for him, and then I'm going to take a freelance job working with his buddy, like trying to make extra cash. Well, then when I told him, I was like, dude, I can't get off work. Like, I've still got a full-time job. I can't get off work all those days. He was like, oh, don't worry about it then. I'll find somebody. And I was like, dang, that sucks. And you may not remember this. I showed up at the weigh-in.
I was going to say that. I was just
and so then he
now.
Got then he got BJ? And
that's where I met BJ the first time, was at the weigh-in, like, of that event. Because you jumped out of the boat, and I was like, oh, he got somebody else. Dang.
But like we'd already, but.
We had not met each other yet.
We hadn't, but we had already filmed Okeechobee.
Yeah.
Before that.
Yeah, but he wasn't sure if you were going to be able to make Smith, I guess.
Because, like, that's where I was there, and that's where I said, like, we flew in, and he dropped, met him, like, I met him there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I was going to say, like, I feel like I vaguely remember
I didn't
you
know that I was cutting in on your deal, but apparently I was.
Interesting.
And then I met you at Sam Rayburn for the first time, and I was like, oh, you were the guy in the boat with him at Smith.
I was like, this guy's awesome.
Yeah. And then you disappeared for, like, 2 years, and here you are.
And they were back.
Yeah.
We're actually doing the whole thing this time. Last time it was like trials, like, boom, like, but it was the same
You showed
thing
up though. At one BPT event. You showed up at Sam Rayburn and then you just disappeared.
Because it piggybacked, because we were here, it was like the same deal where it's like, well, I don't think he's like flying home. He's like, well, just stick. We'll go do all that other stuff we did.
Yeah.
And then go to that one, which like that one's on a hard drive too. But like.
You didn't even post all the videos from Smith.
No, Smith's up.
Oh, okay. Like,
they were there. You just never.
They uploaded, you just never like pressed publish?
No, because like he was supposed to watch it, and it, that's another.
Oh, they show their
so
private?
Hang on. We're 2 years down the road, and he still hasn't reviewed the Smith Lake videos from 2021.
You have videos on his account right now that are private.
Yeah. I think they're still there. Because like you put it up, like he watched all of them, like all that stuff happened, and then I think he just gave up on YouTube. Because he posted like 2 or 3
and
days.
And now he's kicking himself just, that he should have been doing YouTube the whole time.
Well, because, and that's why even last year would have gone to Red Crest.
Yeah.
Right. Or something down there. And he like brought up like, let's say 2 weeks before or something like that. And then whatever it was. And then he finally looked to like get a plane ticket or something like that. And it jumped to like $500. And he's like, nah, we're not going to do it. And then he's.
Penny pincher.
Which now $500 is like, oh, that's a good ticket.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
oh,
that's
wow,
not bad.
We got to get that.
Like, I forget what it was, and he's like, dang, that was, should have come, because that was actually a good tournament, right? Yeah. It was like, so there was stuff like that where it went, and like, but like, to him, and like, to me, like, when I hadn't done it before, it was like, when you're not seeing it, it's tough starting out with it, because like, I even look at it now, like, the Okeechobee video, to this day, only had like, maybe 1,000 views, and that was like, 2 years ago,
yeah,
right? And like, that was so
pretty
good.
Move that microphone closer to your face.
Dude, it's in my belly.
For the love of God, move that microphone. Like, you're holding it out here and going, hey, so let me tell you this very intricate story.
Oh, man.
Like, me and Colin are coming through, like, loud and clear, and you're like,
all right, so, like, the one time.
Yeah.
We got videos we didn't even post today. Like, it's crazy. It's like,
He's down. He's done.
Oh, man. This guy.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And we were actually talking about this the other day. But
trying to kill me.
The way you got to think about it, too, that even though your numbers, y'all's numbers right now, aren't as what ours or them or Jacob or whatever, like you're doing it, you're kind of investing in the future. And.
Yeah.
He's growing his brand so he can get more money from sponsors.
Yeah.
Well, but and then in turn pay you more.
Bigger reach.
But
he's
see,
reaching for
like,
bigger reach.
Like the tough part of that was a couple of years ago, like it's looking short-sighted, stuff like that, seeing like, man, got like 500 views on it,
yeah.
Right? And like, is it worth the time and money put into it when like starting out on a channel is definitely easier when you're the one doing it, right? So it's your time and effort going into it, and then once you've grown it, bring other people in,
yeah,
right? But so like that's where it's tough, like, and I understand that, bringing you in somewhere like that, you know.
See, here's the thing,
like, and that's the thing, I knew nothing then,
you right know,
I learned so much even more from you guys this year, which I think helped that, and even for the channel, like, I think everyone else put in the work,
yeah,
is then helping out because everyone kind of recognizes who he is now.
That's,
you know,
keep in
before,
mind,
you know?
It's going to grow.
Yeah, it will.
Like, it's not like Brett trying to, you know, start a channel or me trying to start a YouTube channel and think, oh, maybe we'll get big one day. Like, it's going to grow.
But honestly, any YouTube channel, like, even if you do start a YouTube channel, the more you post, it's going to grow. It's just depending on the rate. What is the rate it's going to grow?
Well, and that's what my buddy with Instagram, stuff like that, like, he literally put a video out, like, every other day on a reel. And this was, like, a year ago, like, really before. And then, you know, he wouldn't see anything. And all of a sudden, one took off, and he went from, like, 1,000 to, like, 90,000 followers,
dang,
right? But so, like, that's the thing where, like, and it's tough when, say, algorithms, audience, whatever it is. And it's not even just the more you put out. It's because the more you put out, the better you get at it.
You
right?
do.
And,
like, that's true.
And, like, that's a part of it is it's, like, just like practicing and stuff like that. And I think a lot of us get hung up on wanting it to be perfect or good before putting it out.
Yep.
And then they said that then you never do it, right? Because it's never going to be good. So this is where you got to really put your ego aside and all that stuff.
I struggled with wanting it to be perfect early on.
Yep.
And Brett kind of was just like,
bro, no, I'm not perfect. Dude, our stuff sucks sometimes, but it just works.
It's not about the quality, really.
Yep.
No, like you said,
you need good quality. Like, it needs to have some quality to it, but it's YouTube. It's not
all the gear we use. The quality is going to be
it's going to be there anyway.
Yes.
We're not working for Sony or Paramount. We're not trying to put out a major motion picture. We need to make content that's relatable.
Yeah, but then that's what the number one hurdle though is judging yourself against others, right?
And you don't need to do that other stuff. You don't need to do that. But the thing is, like, the advantage I had coming in is Dustin. I think Dustin had somewhere in the teens, like 17, 16, somewhere that 1,000 subscribers when he first started. Now he didn't put out hardly any videos, but a lot of that came from the Guggen Weight series. Like, it was just holdovers. Well, when we posted our first video, I think it did like 5,000 views in the first 2 days, and I was like, "Freaking crazy!" Yeah, it's three. It's all. We're about
three,
done.
3 o'clock.
We're about done. But I was coming from a channel that had 4,000 subscribers, and I was getting an average of maybe 400 views a video. So when I saw 5,000, I was like, "Holy
viral! We went viral.
I made it."
That was like what I do in a month. That video may make like $150. Like one video. That's what I made in a month. So I
was the ads better back then?
No,
like money wise, so it wasn't better.
But maybe it was, but with inflation, with all the inflation we've got now, I can't tell.
It's like a burger back in the day. Yeah, sense.
Yeah, I can't tell. But y'all've got what? How many thousand? Y'all've got 4,000 something.
It's like 4,500 now. I think you started out with like 2 this year.
Right, which
that's
is
good.
Freaking great.
That's great.
Like, yeah, you doubled your number in like.
But like now, like those views, like on a video, is like 2,000. I would say would average, right? So like, if we were getting those views 2 years,
this
ago,
is where I tell you, you stop complaining about your views when you're getting half of your subscriber rate coming back. You don't compare. Like, this is for anybody that does YouTube. Don't compare yourself to other channels or bigger channels or smaller channels. Compare, like, look at your subscribers. And see what is your average view. Like, basically, like if you got 4,500 subscribers and you're getting 2,500 views per video on average, dude, you're killing it.
Yeah.
Because the average on YouTube really should be about 10%. If you look at bigger channels, if they've got 100,000 subscribers, they're probably pulling in 10,000 to 15,000.
That's what I think is the most frustrating part of all of that.
Yeah.
Right? Like that you can have like we're there 125,000 followers. Right? But like that you wish like they was pushed to all of them.
Yeah.
You know, like that at some point somehow they saw it without them having to go and click the notification, all this nonsense.
Well, it
right?
does. Like, it does. But the way YouTube works is if you don't click on the video, like if you skip one of our videos and you don't click on it, YouTube goes, they may have gone cold on this channel. We're not going to push it to them again.
Yeah.
Until you've got a video that pops off a little bit better than normal. And they're like, oh, maybe we can bring them back in. We'll recommend this one. So if it's all about getting them to click. And that's why the bell is so important. Like they get notified and they click it. But if they get notified and they don't click it, they may not get notified anymore, even if they've got all on all the time.
Yeah, but see, and that's what I would say. Like, if we were getting 1,000 views 2 years ago, I think it would have set the tone a little bit different. But even still then, like that's why I said like this group like helps. And that's what I said by learning, you know, you've learned a lot from it and whatnot. And then, you know, you kind of inform like where before it was pretty much put a video up, somewhat of a title, and the thumbnail was like a
whatever.
Screen grab from
yep,
it, right?
Yep.
So like, and that's where you're saying like, even that, like your 2 years, you know, really kind of expedited what I've done in the last 12 months, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
What we've done now, like this year, like, you know, would not, like, we were in Kissimmee now, we went over the thumbnails, right?
Right. And then yeah, did that. So, and I want to preface this. I want to thank y'all for coming on board, right? So I know, like, I get real preachy with y'all on certain things, like, hey, like, this is my theory on this, or this, because y'all ask questions. I can't tell y'all what y'all have done for my confidence because I was ready to quit. Like, this was going to be my last year. 100%. Me and my wife already talked about it. I talked about it with Dustin. I wasn't going to do this again next year.
Because it is a grind.
It is a grind. Like, it's...
We'll get into that.
The grind.
the grind.
Man.
But...
It's not all
I was
fun
gonna,
and fishing.
I was going to quit because I've always had imposter syndrome. And I've told y'all this. Like, I don't know all the buttons on my camera. I just know I point, I press record. A lot of times I'm in full auto. Sometimes I'm not. But if it's a bright, sunny day and there's no clouds, I won't go full auto because I can set it once. I don't like color grading. That's why I use a Canon because I can't. I'm colorblind.
Why don't you like... Oh, okay. That's why you don't like color grading.
I'm colorblind. I will oversaturate some stuff in a heartbeat and think, man, that looks good. And you're like, dude, he looks like a clown. Why is he orange? And I'm like, I don't... What are you
talking
about?
It's like an Oopa Loopa.
Yeah. So, but after... It's one of them things you don't really know how much you know until you start talking and teaching somebody else. And then you start seeing that pay off for them. And you're like, oh, it wasn't just an accident on my channel. Maybe I actually was onto something. that yeah, I was like, dude, why am I going to quit when I'm actually, maybe I am decent at this. So I want to thank y'all for asking those questions because it helped my confidence. Like, dude, I actually, maybe I can do this. Maybe I do know what I'm doing.
You're very welcome for helping you.
Yeah. y'all are popping right now.
Well, it's just thumbnail and title.
And I
firmly believe that.
And in my opinion, he's the best on camera.
Dustin is. Yeah. Dustin's
so good on camera.
Just because he's a clown.
Yes.
Like he knows when to turn on that we need to laugh here or I need to break the tension here. He's a talker.
So he talks on the videos too.
Yeah.
He didn't break the tension last night.
No.
Broke the tension.
Yeah. Well, we can't get into that.
Nope.
That's one of the things.
That's one of the stories that y'all won't hear on ever. The videos or on this podcast. Yeah,
that was like was that the tension of his ladder going up the tree? What were we talking about? The ladder?
Oh, yeah. So we've got Stephen McNeely from Realtree this week filming.
I've learned a lot from him. I'm picking his brain.
Because you do a lot of hunting stuff.
He's probably annoyed with me, but
me and BJ are sitting there listening to y'all talk about ladder sling hanging stands, and me and BJ are intently like shaking our heads, and finally we look at each other and going, "What the hell are they talking about? what are they talking about?
Deer talk.
Do you know what they're talking about? They're talking about, well, do you trust your life with this rope or whatever? I don't know,
and I don't know what they were talking about, but I like
a one stepper and a two stepper and
whatever Steven was saying.
You were listening.
Yeah, are we talking about band high stepping? Like, what is this? Like,
yeah, I looked at him. I was like, yo, whatever that guy just said makes a lot of sense, but I don't know what he was talking about.
The math he just threw out
adds
up, but I don't know why. What math
I would
doing.
Not trust my life without that stuff. Yeah. He sold me. That was a commercial for something. I don't know what it was.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. But that's the story of all of us, how we got together. And we literally stay up. Like, all the guys go to sleep because they've got to fish the next day. We have to edit and get them there and wake up at the same times. But we stay up probably till midnight, 1 o'clock, doing this kind of stuff.
Oh, way later. They're in bed late, 9:30.
And we've decided that we needed to record some of this. Because a lot of the stuff that we end up talking about is, if you're wanting to get into YouTube, it could really help you. Now, we're not going to give up the juice, but we'll give up some orange juice.
No, we'll give up, like, the B stuff.
Yeah, we'll give
you B tier.
We ain't going to give you the juicy fruit, but we'll give you orange juice. Like, we'll give you a little bit. But
well, thanks, Mom and Dad, for listening this long.
Yeah.
Thanks, BJ. Thanks for listening and downloading this podcast.
I'm going to be playing this on a charter.
See, I just want to mark this down so when I call y'all a week from now and go, hey, you know, it posted, you're going to be like, how many downloads? And we're like, three. And then you're going to be like, well, I listened to it. BJ, really. Did you listen to it? Yeah, I listened to it.
I was not one of them.
I listened to it too. So it was just us. So if we hung into our own podcast this long, good on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're all going to be about this long. We're going to do like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, maybe an hour. I don't know.
So where are we going to be able to find this when we want to tune in to listen to this?
So I'm going to make it available on like every major podcast.
Dang.
So like Spotify,
you
got to
make
Apple.
Like a logo too.
Well, I'll come up with something. I want to get like somebody, they may have already heard it. I want to get like somebody to do a voiceover of like an intro of I'm just a camera guy.
Yes, we'll get Lurch to do that.
Yeah, we'll get Lurch to do that. I'll get him to do it tomorrow.
So it's going to be like three guys on a couch holding a camera.
Why do you keep going back to that?
No. We're not going there.
It's like two girls in a cup. Three guys on a couch.
We need to wrap this thing up. I got to go get Mark.
And now Colin is super uncomfortable, and that's going to do it. Guys,
gotta go pick
thanks
up
for
Mark.
Listening in. We'll see you all in the next one.
You're welcome.